Good evening, everybody. Welcome to our time here together tonight. I think it would be appropriate as we begin this evening to steady our hearts, to calm our minds, to be aware of the presence of God around us. And so let's take just a moment and let's have a moment of silence, and then let's begin with a prayer tonight. Our Father, our God, there are times in life when we feel like the floodwaters are all the way up to our necks. We feel like our feet are sinking in the mud and the depths of the earth. We struggle to find a sure foothold. We feel as if deep waters have flooded all around us. We cry out for help, and our throats are sore from the cry. Our eyes strain as we look for you. Enemies surround us. Skeptics call out. Doubts creep in. But our God, you know no foolishness, for you are wisdom. You are truth. You are reality. You are the Lord, the Almighty One. We place our hope in you. You are the God of Israel. You are the God of Jesus. And so we seek you. And we will not be put to shame because that we do. We endure the scorn of those around us. And even when we weep in the dust of the earth and put on the sackcloth and ashes of the difficulties of life, we look up to you. We pray to you, our Lord. Because we know, Father, that in your Son, Jesus Christ, we have your favor. Your love is great toward your children. You answer us with the sureness of our salvation. You rescue us from the deepest, muddy, miry pit. You don't let us sink. You deliver us from the deepest of waters, even when flood waters seem to engulf us and the depths seem to swallow us. You do not let the pit close over our mouths. You answer us out of the goodness of your love, for your mercy is great. And so we praise you with our songs. We glorify you with our thanksgiving. Let heaven and earth praise you. Let all that is in the depths of the sea move in jubilant praise. Let all that creeps along the shores and the grasses of this world cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." May all those that love you and your name forever dwell in your midst. In the name of Jesus, amen. The entire message of the Bible is about God's relationship with us. As you read through the pages of the Bible, you find one snapshot after another of the stories of individuals and their lives. People, just like you and me. Just everyday folks. The same struggles and challenges. The same doubts and concerns. Facing the same trials and tribulations. But these snapshots, recorded for all time in the Bible, tell us stories of people who encountered the presence of God in some way. In fact, the Bible might be considered a record of divine encounters. Some people welcomed the encounter. Some people welcomed His presence. Others cowered in fear. Others scurried away. Others quenched His presence or rejected it. But the Bible's full of these stories. Stories that inspire us and show us what's possible and what God's plan is for you and me. Tonight I want to talk to you about the walk. The walk that God invites you and I to take. I want to share quickly with you just a glimpse of five little snapshots recorded in Scripture of people that took the walk. And maybe we'll learn something that can help us along the way. Walking with God. It started with Adam and Eve. Beings fashioned in the image and likeness of God Himself, emerging from the very dust God had created, breathed into their nostrils the empowerment of the Spirit of life, placed in a paradise, in a garden. But in this garden were more than trees and grasses blowing in the wind. Something else was very present in the cool of the day. The presence of God Himself. And Adam and Eve were completely open and transparent with Him, feeling no shame, no barrier between them and God. God, all He ever wanted was for them to love Him, to choose to walk with Him. But it was a choice God freely gave to both of them. It was no sham or charade. It was full freedom to choose. And they chose to walk away. And as sin began to fill this world, when God walked in the garden, they hid. They fled from His presence. The very thing that had once brought them indescribable joy now brought considerable terror. And yet in the midst of all of that bleakness, God still desires to walk with them. He gives a prophecy about one that would come that would be of the seed of the woman who would crush the head of the serpent. And this would be the means by which God would restore the walk, the communion with His people. As our minds travel down the stream of time, and we walk through the pages of Scripture, we find that there was an individual who was very unique. At least it seemed that he was. In Genesis chapter 5, in the midst of a long list of genealogy, the Bible says in verse 21 that there was a man named Enoch. And Enoch had lived for 65 years when he became the father of a son. But then there's mention in verse 22 something very unique about Enoch. He walked faithfully with God. So much so that verse 24 says that he walked faithfully with God and then he was no more because God took him away. In a wisp, in a moment. He just kept walking with God till he walked right up into heaven with Him. Enoch is proof that a daily walk with God is possible, even for us fallen creatures on this side of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's not to say that walking with God means you're perfect, that you don't stumble and fall along the way, but Enoch chose a path, a walk. And rather than just a short burst or a sprint here or there, Enoch chose a life of steady faith as one who pleased God, Hebrews 11:5 says. And then we come to the only person in the entire Hebrew Bible that is given this specific description. He was a friend of God. James tells us this about Abraham in James chapter 2 and verse 23, but it's Isaiah the prophet that originally made the observation when in Isaiah 41 and verse 8 that it's really not even the prophet, but instead the voice of God speaking through the mouth of Isaiah when God literally says, Abraham, my friend. Wow. Can you imagine God calling your name and saying, yeah, that's my friend. When you look at Abraham's life, you find that he did walk with God. He had regular conversations with God. He trusted God fiercely. He heard God's voice clearly to the point that he became so familiar with God after years of walking in a relationship with God that I think Abraham came to realize the very thing Jesus wants for all of us to recognize in God being the shepherd of our souls. That we hear His voice, and we know Him. John 10:27. I mean, Abraham had such a friendship walk with the Lord that he felt free to express some of his strongest emotions to God. You see Abraham falling face down before the Lord. You see Abraham being very bold to make grand requests from God. And you even see Abraham feeling comfortable enough with his friend God to even laugh when God told him something that was hard to believe. Abraham enjoyed a deep friendship walk with God. Abraham was not perfect, but he had a friend, an exceptional relationship, we might think. But then Jesus says in John 15:15, if you come to me, you walk with me, no longer will I call you servants, but I will call you friends. John 15 and verse 15. There was one man that so desperately wanted to know the Lord like this, with this walk, that he longed to know God and experience God's glory in ever-increasing ways. Moses was not satisfied with 10 rules engraved on stone. He didn't just want to know the rules from the rule maker. He wanted to know his God, to experience his presence, to know God more deeply. And so Moses aligned his deepest longings with the desires of God himself, to the point of even reminding God of what God's original plan was to bring about a plan to save humanity through the nation of Israel. God made himself clearer to Moses by revealing God's beauty, because God said to Moses, well, Moses, I can't demonstrate to you the full brunt of my glory. I can't show myself to you like you want, because you would melt before my glorious presence. So Moses gets a peek, a glimpse that God reveals up on the mountain. So much so that Moses' face is radiant from the experience. But it's not so much what Moses saw as much as what God revealed that drew Moses' heart into deeper friendship with God, because it was on that mountain that God said, I am the Lord Yahweh, the Lord Yahweh. I am compassionate and gracious. I am patient and loving. I am forgiving and I am just. And Moses' face glowed from the encounter. I wonder if his mind went back to that first garden, as he saw the wind blowing the grass as the sheep were grazing, as he wrote songs of praise to God out on the pasture watching those sheep. David, that young shepherd boy, was a man of deep passion. He longed to live in and seek God's presence to the point that he says, I thirst like a deer thirsting for the water. My soul longs for you. The deepest desire of David's heart was for God, and he had the deepest of feelings longing for his friend. But even with that great desire, David surrendered to his temptation and violated almost all of the Ten Commandments. He coveted another man's wife. He lied about the whole incident, committing adultery and even murder. And because of his sin, David's heart was drawn away from God, and he began to experience a diminishing awareness of God's presence, at least for a time. But David's heart was a heart for the Lord, to the point that when he was convicted of his sin and called on the carpet by the prophet Nathan, his heart began to beat once more for God. He confesses. He repents. And in Psalm 51, cries out, "Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation, and renew a right spirit in me." It was that kind of heart for God that Scripture remembers when it says that David was a man after God's own heart. Who does God look for? He looks for people that want to walk with Him. And for those that want the walk, no matter how far you've walked away, when you want the walk with God, God will redeem you from the worst of failures and rescue you and bring you back from the farthest places. David repented, and the intimacy he had enjoyed previously with his God returned. 5 snapshots through Scripture of people that took the walk. And I think that's what Paul is trying to point us toward in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2 and verse 6. The English Standard Version renders it this way: "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in Him." You received Him as your Lord. Now walk with Him. The idea of walking is a Hebrew expression found throughout the Old Testament that really is not necessarily talking about a means of locomotion, but instead is describing the way in which you are choosing to regulate your life, the manner in which you are choosing to conduct the course of your life. We would call it this, in today's language, your lifestyle. And we are being invited, because of what Jesus did, to walk with God. Not just to walk with Him when we get to heaven, although what a walk that's going to be, when paradise is restored and once again God is among His people and He is our God, but right now, to walk with God, to live in a vital union with Him. That's the invitation. To enjoy a friendship with God. It's what you can have. It's what Jesus came to do, to provide that. But just like in the garden, you have to choose it. And the choice is yours. So if you've not chosen it, it is the choice of life. And you should choose it. With every fiber of my being, I would try to persuade you to choose it. If you have chosen it, are you cultivating that friendship? Any friendship in life has to be maintained or it will be lost. You have to cultivate this friendship. Think about a friendship you would have with a human being. If you want to maintain that friendship, you have to prioritize time with your friend. If you don't, you lose touch. And you start to feel the distance, the separation, and eventually the loss of the friendship. And so prioritizing, are you prioritizing time with your friend face to face, daily? But a friendship also means you have to be aware of your friend's presence. You're going to strain a friendship if every time you get together with your friend, you go to a restaurant to catch up with them, and the whole time they're trying to share their life with you, you're looking at your phone the whole time. They're going to quickly become annoyed, frustrated, offended, and then finally say, "If you're not going to pay attention to me, I don't know why I'm here." So prioritizing time with your friend, being aware of your friend's presence, listening carefully to your friend. We listen to the voice of our friend through Scripture. We have to be transparent and honest with friends if we want to cultivate a relationship. That's confession and repentance daily. Being real with God. And talking frequently with your friend. Pray without ceasing. So, I just leave you with that, with the choice being yours and mine. Have you chosen friendship with God? And if you have, how's that friendship going for you? Draw near to God and He will draw near to you, says the brother of our Lord James in the New Testament. If you feel a distance in the friendship, I can promise you it is not because God left. He said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am with you to the end of the age. There is nothing and nobody that could ever snatch you from my hand. Nobody's ever going to take you away." If you feel a distance, it's not because I left. It's because you walked away. So where are you walking? Are you walking with the Lord, number one? And if you have been, have you walked away? If so, you need to turn around and walk with Him again. If we can help you in any way, we'd like to pray with you. We'd like to help you in your obedience to Jesus, to receiving the gospel promise of salvation by grace through faith. If we can help you in your discipleship walk to cultivate a deeper awareness of God's presence and life with Him, we'd like to help you. We're just all trying to walk together. We're just at all at different places in our journey, and we're just trying to help each other continue to take one step in front of the other and continue to progress with the Lord in the walk. If we can help you, come as we stand and as we sing.